Once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you. It's always a joy not only to come into the presence of God, but also to look at Word, particularly God's Word, and God's Word really speaks to us. I believe many of you have heard this, or maybe some of you have even said when you were young or even now, we have heard statesmen like this, right? It says, you know, it's unfair. It's unfair. Particularly parents who are having young kids will know if your child is given a bigger share of the cake. The other one will say, you know, it's unfair because I see that, you know, you have been giving a bigger piece of that delicious cake to my brother or sister. You know, many times, even in our workplaces, when someone gets promoted, and you have been long time working in this particular company, you've been a good worker, right? Because of the evil world that we live in, and you realize you don't have a fair treatment in the workplace. Some of us are students, right? When you pass your grades or when you give your papers to your professors or even your instructors, you put in a lot of effort, research, you've done a lot of research. And you realize a person beside you has not done much, but he is in good terms with the professor. He's a fond a student, and you realize your grades are not better. Then you said, you know, it's unfair. It's unfair. And today, they say it's not a good time to sell your house, right? I believe some of us are realtors here. But then you realize, you know, when you don't get the fair market value. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to my neighbor who sold his house. Very nice guy, but he said, you know, it's so unfair. I said, why? Because the other guy got 70,000 more than me. I did not know what to say. Yes, $70,000 is quite a lot in today's terms. I think today we live in a world, and we have heard this word quite often, it's unfair, unfair. Even in the Canadian system, you realize there's a Canadian human rights law, at the same time Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom, so that, you know, there is fair treatment to people and there is a fairness in our workplaces too. Today I want to dwell on the topic called fairness and also on the grace of God, because there are times in our life, like this picture, we say, you know, God is unfair, or maybe God seems unfair in our life. I've been a Christian for so long of a period, and I don't see this happening in my life. Where else I see a new believer who just came to church recently, you know, God's blessings is tremendous in his life. And we see God so unfair. And I think today we want to particularly dwell on this passage and answer that question. Before that, you know, let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for your word, because we have questions, oh God, we have doubts. Sometimes we do not know why our prayers are delayed. But where else? The other one, oh God, his prayers are all often answered. Help us, oh Lord, to look at your word and also draw strength from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if you have read Matthew chapter 20, I do not know how many of you have actually read that particular passage, you know, in your time, in your free time. You know, maybe when you look at it in a very human perspective, you realize, you know, it's not so fair, right? The way people were treated, the workers were treated. The passage goes like this, or the story goes like this, and Jesus is sharing a parable, and so he was talking about a landowner, rich man. He had all the power, he had all the money. And it was time for the harvest in his vineyard. He needed help. He needed workers. He needed some people to come and help. So he hires people. He comes early in the morning. In those days, that's how it works. He comes early in the morning and he says, you know, I need help. I need human labor. And there was guys who were just willing, because that's a day's work. And they were so excited. It's a 12-hour day long work. And then they started working, and this man, rich man, realizes, you know, I need to harvest by this particular time. If not, you know, I will be losing money. And so a few hours later, he goes back to the market, and then he realizes, you know, there were people there. He says, you know, can you come and work for me? They say, yes, we are looking for work. I'm so excited, you know, to come and work. And so they come. Then he comes back again at 5 o'clock because he needs to do before the dawn sets in. And so he calls for help. And there were other people who said, you know, yes, we were willing to help. And there were almost like the last hour he goes out and he gets people to come and work. And I think the day is finished and people are so excited, you know, I've worked hard, right? It's time to be paid, right? When payday comes, you know, there's, I believe a lot of us have a lot of smiles. And so it was an interesting time. And the, you know, this rich man, if you realize, you know, he starts from paying those who came last. And so when he gave them a denarii, which is a one day's wage, and they said, you know, I worked for 1 hour, and I get so much. I hope my in the landlord is a good mathematician or maybe an accountant, right? How come? Maybe, I do not know, maybe they quietly sneaked out after getting the money, because if he realizes that he has done a mistake, probably he would ask my money back. But with a lot of joy, they would have just, you know, kept quiet, not saying any word, because I don't deserve to get this money. I just worked 1 hour and I've just paid for a day's salary. And they leave. The guys who worked almost half a day, they were so excited, I believe. Can you imagine just working half a day? You know, I just work 6 hours and I get paid for a whole day. What's it, you know? Why? I believe they would have said, you know, thank you so much, you know, call us anytime and we will be there. I believe the guys who started the day early or the first day in the morning they came to work, they would have been saying, you know, if that guy gets a denarii, probably, you know, looking at this master, wonderful guy, you know, I will definitely get much more. But sadly, the story doesn't go like that. It says that he gave them the same amount, a denarii, which is a day's work. Imagine yourself in a situation like this. How would you feel? Right? How would you feel? I believe there would be a lot of frustration. You know, that guy gets more. Or maybe he gets one denarii, a day's work, and he worked only for an hour. Whereas the other guy worked 6 hours. Maybe I can understand a bit. But not me. I deserve to be paid much more because I started from the morning. I did not even take a break and I've been just working hard and I've been paid, you know, just a denarii. Now, let's look at the passage very carefully. By the way, we need to look at it, you know, because this is a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Many a times, what I think one of the unfortunate things is that we look at parables from the current culture. When you look at the current culture, we realize there's injustice in this particular passage. But Jesus is talking about, you know, God's salvation, that we don't deserve to be saved. You and I don't deserve to be a child of God or the sons and daughters of God. We don't deserve because of our life, our human failure. But God in His grace and mercy is there to give us the salvation we don't deserve. You know, at the same time, when you look at it, why is Jesus talking about this parable earlier? You know, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, Peter comes to Him and says, Lord, no, we gave everything to You. We gave everything to You. What about us? I think that's what Peter is trying to say. And so Jesus is answering Peter by saying, you know, God's grace is sometimes you don't understand, but God's grace, you know, He gives eternal life. He saves His people according to His own way. So when you look at the thing, you know, I thought it would be good for us to ask, to answer this question, you know, is God fair today? Because there are moments in our life we feel as if God is so unfair. We have been a long time Christian, probably more than 20 years we've been Christian. But then we see another person who's just an year Christian and there's a lot of excitement in his life. We see great blessings in his life. We think it's so unfair because we have been giving our time, just going to church, tithing and doing whatever that is important as a member of the church. And we realize I don't get that kind of blessing. But why? But let's look at this passage by asking, you know, the way, you know, let's hear what the landlord has to say, because it's important for us to see how he answers them. You know, firstly, when you look at the first question that comes is, you know, to the landlord is asking in verse 13, he says, all right, but he answered one of them and said, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? In other words, that's the first question that he's asking. Didn't you agree? In other words, you know, you agreed to work. Look at the passage very carefully, right? In verse 2, it says, he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and send them into their vineyard. And that was the agreement. You come and work for me for a day, and I'll pay you, you know, this amount. It was agreed. You know, sometimes what happens, I think, we have a relationship with God which is called the transactional relationship. You know, that's the world that we live in. That's the consumer world that we live in, right? What happens, you know, I give God and I expect something. When we give God, you know, or we give someone, we expect something in return, right? We treat a friend to a dinner. We also expect that someday that friend of mine will also bring us for dinner. Right? I think because that's the mindset that we have today, and that's the culture that we are living in today, it's a very transactional kind of a relationship. I do this, yes, I do this. You know, at the same time, at the back of my mind, I expect something in return, something in kind to be given to me. Right? Even in our Christian walk with God, when we do things for God, we expect and we say, Lord, I do this for you. Lord, please answer my prayer. I've been giving faithfully to you. I've been just supporting the church. I've been in working, you know, in ministries of the church, involved in various ministries of the church, Lord. I expect you to answer me because I give my time, my energy, and I expect you to answer my prayers. And sometimes we become transactional kind of Christians, my friend. We expect God. And that was happening here. If you give me, if God withholds, what happens? We become disappointed, right? We feel as if God is not hearing our prayer. If we start like this theme, God doesn't look so fair on us. Unfortunately, many today treat God like a business world. It's a deal-making mentality. I make the deal with you, God, and I expect you to do this for me. Sometimes it's unfortunate. I've been a pastor for many years, and some people give to church because they expect God to bless them times 10. That's not the way God works, my friend. We deal with God as if it's a deal-making mentality. You know, sometimes when we also treat God as if it's a vending machine, I put coins, I expect something. If not, what happens? I kick. I bid the machine to make sure something comes out because I have given my time, my money. And that's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, and what did he say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yes, my friend, we shouldn't and we should. We are not called to be a transactional Christians, because let his will be done. As we just sung today, God is never late. And so God is not unfair. God knows what is important for us, what is essential for our lives. God has his reasons. Many a times our human mind cannot understand or fully understand what's the plans of God, because his ways are higher, much more greater than our simple ways, my friend. And his timings are different. Probably we ask for something and we don't get it. I live in Markham, and I've shared this with my wife. Many a times, you know, when I drive Church Street, I see the houses, beautiful houses. And I sometimes, you know, I pray, I do not know. I just whisper to God, say, Lord, I like to live in that one house, that particular beautiful house. Even my daughters know I like a particular house. Maybe in the market, it will go for $3 million. And I hear another voice within me saying, if I give you that house, can you pay the utility bill? Then I'll tell myself, I don't think so. I can pay the utility bill. The Lord knows what I need. I don't need such a big house. And God has His own humor too. And then I hear another voice telling me, you can't. Even if I give you, you cannot. It will be difficult for you. It will be challenging for you. And so God knows, my friend. And God says, our prayer should be, thy will be done. So sometimes we become like a transactional Christian. We expect God. How wonderful if we are like Hannah, who prayed and said, Lord, if you bless me, I will give you. And she gave the son, Samuel, to the Lord. Yes, God is fair. Secondly, let's look at the second, question the landlord was saying, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? I think some of you have said these words to our families. No, I have the right because it's my money, it's my wealth. I've earned hard, I've sweated out for this particular money. And so I have all the right. I think that's what the master is saying. It is his vineyard. His money, he worked hard. He did not cheat on any other people, my friend. It was his. It belonged to him. And so he has all the right to do whatever he wants. And I think as Christians, we need to understand this, that God can do what he wants with what he is, my friend. If he wants to bless us, he can bless us. If he wants to bless us with much, he can do. If he wants us to bless us with the little things, we should be more than willing to accept because it comes from God. But we live in a world, it's not like that. We try to compare because someone had this, I need to have much more. Someone have been a Christian and so that person has, Lord, I need much more because I've been praying, I've been giving to the church, I've been a faithful guy. And we try to tell God, we try to bargain and say, Lord, I have all the right to your inheritance kind of a stuff, right? No, my friend. God is sovereign and God can do what he wants. And that's why the psalmist was very clear. He's in Psalm 105, he says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. God does whatever it pleases, my friend. Look at the life of Job. Job was a very righteous man. Wonderful man who loved God, was very faithful to God, but God took away his riches, right? When his friends came and challenged him, these were the answers of Job. He said, but go and ask the animals, he said. And not only that, what Job said, for he is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. Because God knows what is good for us, my friend. God knows what is best for us. God knows our limitations. God knows our strength. God knows our struggles. He has control and His desire, and He fulfills His desire. And so I think we need to understand this. I think God is sovereign. The world belongs to Him. God wants to bless you. He will bless you because He knows how much. Because the more, if you have more, probably pride might come into your life. Or you might start thinking that you are better off than other Christians. Right? God allows certain things in our life, certain blessings. But God is the one who is the giver. He has the right. Thirdly, let me finish with this. The third question, this rich man was asking, are you envious, he said, because they were envious, right? They came to him, they said, it's not fair because we should receive more than these guys. And so he said, are you envious because I'm generous? They were envious because they thought they are the primary recipients. You know, let me tell you, my friend, you know, comparison is a toxic today. Even in the Christian church, in the Christian world, it can be toxic. Even pastors can also think of this. You know, many times when I go for a pastor's meeting and all that, you know, they will ask you, what is the strength of your church? When you say a particular number, oh, but if you have a higher number, you know, you are treated differently. Because you're a big church, so in other words, you're a big pastor. But that's the world that we live in, my friend. Comparison. Sometimes comparison happens in the church. I've been so long in this church, and I'm not given this particular position. From day one, the church started, I've been here. But then I've not been recognized, whereas someone came just a recent year. You know, that person has been given a leadership. Sometimes the church is also, you know, at fault by doing certain things because we are still human beings, fallen nature. Right? But, you know, it happens. It happens everywhere. So these people were grumbling. Look at the life of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet, right? He was so stubborn, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. But finally, when he went, when he saw the people repenting, what did he say? He was so jealous with God. Right? He complained to God because God gave them the grace, my friend. Can you imagine a prophet? A prophet is a mouthpiece, a spokesman for God. He was so jealous because these people repented and they turned from their ways. I think we have read about the prodigal son. The eldest son was so envious because the brother, right, who wastes the father's money was given a party and he felt that he was not given anything, a small kettle to have with his friends. Today, let's be careful, my friend, we start comparing or we start grumbling. God knows what is good for us. You know, God is so generous. The landlord said, you know, I'm generous. Because I'm generous, because if you look at the word very carefully, God has been so generous. Right? Some says, the world, the earth is full of the kind, loving kindness of the Lord. My wife and I, you know, love to travel. And one of the reasons we love to travel is not because we have so much money in the bank, so we want to finish our money. It's not because of that, right? We love to travel. One of the reasons is not only to enjoy the culture, but at the same time, we like to see the wonders of God. And every time we go, you know, we look at it and say, we just marvel. We've been to so many countries, we just marvel the way God has, you know, been in the lives of people. In the places that we just marvel and we see that God has been so generous, my friend. It's beyond race, right? Beyond gender. He blesses them. And that's why in Romans, Paul writes, he says, well, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek in the sight of God. The same Lord is Lord of all, my friend. You know, God is so generous. This man said, this land. Lord said, you know, are you envious because I'm generous? Let me tell you, God is so generous. You know why? Because each and every one of us, including myself, don't deserve to have Him. John 3:16 is a very, you know, known passage. God so loved the world. You know, He loved the fallen world, the sinful world that turns against Him, my friend. If someone, you know, gives a wrong remark about you, right? Your impulses are to retaliate immediately. If someone speaks against you, you don't want to be silent. But God so loved the world, people were just going against God. They were not living a life for God, but God gave. I think that is generosity, my friend. God gives. And He does not just give us His blessing, but He gives His only Son. We will give our treasures, but not something that really belongs to our heart or close to our heart. He gave His Son. And do you mean that this God is an unfair God? No way. By the way, when we take communion, we are also reminded of another thing. Not only God gave His Son, right? In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Can you imagine? Why should God give each and every one of us His kingdom, my friend? We don't deserve to be there in the kingdom of God. We don't deserve to be saved, but God loves us so much that He's willing to give us not only His Son, but also to give us His kingdom, that we can dwell with Him and enjoy all the things of God. And that is a God, my friend, who's so generous. How can He be unfair? That's a wonderful and a loving God that we have. You know, if you really desire a fair God, let me tell you, I was looking at this thing very carefully. If we desire a fair God, like these workers, I think they would earn their wages. If God is really fair to us, none of us can say that we are saints, including myself. All are sinners. For the wages of sin, the Word of God says, is death. If God is really fair, let me tell you, each and every one of us, including myself, my friend, we don't deserve to be in His kingdom. We don't deserve to be in heaven. We have to face eternal death, eternal condemnation. The only one who's able to stay in heaven or to live in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a fair God. That is a fair God. But God is so much great and fair, my friend, that He's willing to give His Son. So today when you come for the communion, there are moments, you know, we struggle and we say, "Lord, why? Why not me, Lord? Why the delay, Lord?" Instead of making a request, we try to question God. When things doesn't work our way, many a times, right, we tend to not love Him much. But today when you come to the communion, always remember this God might seem unfair, but He's a fair God. He's so generous that He gave His Son to die on the cross for us. He's so generous because the communion also reminds us that He has given His kingdom to us, that someday, for sure, my friend, you and I will fellowship with Him in the kingdom of God. So this Lord's Supper that we are about to take is not just an ordinary time. It reminds us, reaffirms that this God is a generous God, is a fair God. We don't deserve to come to His table. We don't deserve to be invited to the Lord's table. He loves us so much that He's willing to give His Son, to give His kingdom. And so, I want to pray that when we come to the Lord's table, we will come not only just surrendering ourselves to God, but just confessing our sins to God and say, "Lord, I don't deserve. But You've been so gracious, O God. Yes, Lord, I've questioned You many times. Why the delay? But Lord, You know what is best for us. And You're a God who keeps His promises. If it's a day wage, and that's what I get. If it's salvation, it might be today." And so, my friend, today the important thing is not how we started our Christian life, but how we end our Christian life. A marathon is wonderful, right? We start well, but do we end well? Ending is much more important. It's not where we have started, maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or maybe 6 months ago, but how we end our journey is important. Let's pray. Father, we realize how sinful we are, God. Lord, we realize there were times in our life that we have questioned your fairness. We question in such a way as if, Lord, you do not know what to do. Or maybe you got it all wrong. Lord, as we come to the table, we ask for forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves and say, Lord, I don't deserve to be saved by you. I don't deserve, Lord, to have the joy and the peace that comes to me in knowing you. I don't deserve, Lord, to be saved from my sins. But you gave yourself, and your Spirit is always with us, Father. And someday, for sure, we will enjoy your kingdom together with you. And so, Lord, until such time, help us, Lord, to be faithful till the end. Let nothing hinder us, O God. As Paul said, O God, help us look at you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.